Please turn in your Bibles to John 13, 12 to 17, if you'd like to follow along in your own Bible during the scripture reading. John the Apostle, called the Son of Thunder, was writing this book to new Christians and searching non-Christians. John 13, 12 to 17 reads as follows from the New International Version. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Our last text of scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. And Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, as well as to Christians everywhere, when he wrote the following. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you, Lois. Lois just read some of the scriptures that are the background to Seventh-day Adventist Fundamental Belief number 16. We're continuing our series on the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And today we're looking at fundamental belief number 16 that ties right in with the communion service. Fundamental belief number 16 is entitled the Lord's Supper. And it is printed on the front of your bulletins. And so we're just going to briefly go through that sentence by sentence, as we did last time we looked at one of the fundamental beliefs. So if you'd like to take out your bulletin, I encourage you to do that. I have no slides, no PowerPoint on the screen today. It's all going to be right there on your bulletin. So we'll look through it sentence by sentence. Sentence number one, the Lord's Supper is a participation in the emblems of the body and blood of Jesus as an expression of faith in him, our Lord and Savior. Do you know what an emblem is? What's an emblem? Somebody willing to speak it out? A symbol. Thank you. Yeah, an emblem is a symbol. Something that's serving as a symbol representing something else. For example, our nation has an emblem. You know what the national emblem is? The bald eagle. That's the symbol that represents our country. At the Lord's Supper, we have emblems. We have symbols. We have a symbol of the body of Jesus. And that's right in those silver trays, these emblems. What's the emblem, the symbol representing the body of Jesus? The bread. Certain type of bread. Unleavened, yeah, unleavened bread. We're going to talk about just briefly about that. But there's not only bread in there, unleavened bread, there's also wine in there, a certain type of wine, unfermented wine as an emblem, a symbol. In Matthew 16, verses 11 and 12, Jesus is talking and he says the following. So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's wrapping up a fairly lengthy talk that he's been giving. Then at last they understood that he was not speaking about yeast or bread, but about the false teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Yeast or leaven is an agent that's used in bread that brings about, that makes it, causes it to rise, but it's a leavening agent. There's a fermentation process that goes on that causes the bread to rise. And in many Bible services, that yeast, that leaven, is a symbol of sin, because sin gets into stuff and it changes its makeup. Just like you put some yeast in some bread and it changes it. Well, that changes it for good sometimes. But in this case, in these services, they were to leave out the leaven as a symbol of leaving out sin out of the bread, who is a representative of Jesus, because in Jesus there is no sin. Jesus is sinless. He is perfect. And that's why Seventh-day Adventists, when we take part of the wine at communion, we have unfermented wine, because the fermentation process in many of the Bible feasts is a symbol of wine, fermentation, which is a symbol of sin. Okay, so that's emblems of the body and blood of Jesus, but we are to participate. At this time it says we participate. It's a participation. Well, to participate means to take part, to be involved. When we do this in just a few minutes, it's not just the elders and deacons up here doing it. We all do it. We participate. We all do it together. But how do we take part in the symbols of Jesus' body and blood? We do it by eating it and drinking it. But we do more than that. By participating in these symbols, these emblems, we do more than just eat and drink. We also have opportunities to remember, to think, to meditate, to remember what Jesus said and did for us. Because it's not just his physical body and his literal blood, it's what they represent. They represent who he was, what he did. And there's a lot to think about. So at the communion service, we have opportunity to think about that, to remember it, to meditate on it. It also gives us opportunity to renew our commitment to Jesus, to express our faith in him, that we want him to be our master and savior, that I want to be open to his working in my life. It's not just eating some bread and drinking a little juice. It's an internal time to commune with God, to say, God, work in me. I need changing. Second sentence in the paragraph on the front of your bulletin says, in this experience of communion, Christ is present to meet and strengthen his people. Jesus is here. We do not believe, Seventh-day Adventists don't teach that Jesus is physically present in the bread and in the grape juice, but he is here through his Spirit. In fact, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 18, verse 20, when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure, he said, that I will be there. So Jesus is here. He is here. And that's one of the things we can do as we partake. We realize his presence. We take advantage of it. We commune with him. We're open to his Spirit. The next sentence says, as we partake, we joyfully proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. If you think about that sentence, it says that when we partake, we are looking in two directions. It says we joyfully proclaim the Lord's death. For us, that's looking back. But it also says we joyfully proclaim his death for how long? Until he comes. So we look both directions. We look back to his death and we look forward to his second coming at the communion service. In fact, that's based on Matthew 26, 29, where Jesus says, I tell you, I will drink no more wine until I drink it afresh with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus will do it with us when he comes again. So by partaking in this service together, we anticipate and we proclaim that Jesus is coming again. It's a reminder of the second coming, as well as looking back to his death. The next sentence says, preparation for the supper includes self-examination, repentance, and confession. This is a time for us to be reminded of our continual need of Jesus, to be sure that our hearts and minds are right with Jesus. You know, being right with Jesus, the need for examination, repentance, and confession is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's kind of like you don't take a bath once in your lifetime. At least I hope not. We need continual bathing, don't we? We need continual examination and repentance and confession, just like we need to take baths on a continual basis. You see, this is a time for us to be reminded of that. We continually need Jesus. We need to be sure our hearts and minds are right with him, and also right with others, because if my relationships with those around me, with the people in my sphere of influence, are on the fritz, that connects, that relates to, that affects my relationship with God. If I have a terrible relationship with one person, that can affect my relationships with other people. In fact, Jesus referred to that in Matthew 5, verses 23 to 25. Jesus said, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend, make things right, then and only then come back and work things out with God. Or say you're out in the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. God is interested in our relationships because it affects our relationships with him, with one another, and with him. The next sentence says, the master ordained the service of foot washing to signify a renewed cleansing, we already have referred to that, and to express a willingness to serve one another in Christ-like humility and to unite our hearts in love. We talked about our continual reminder and opportunity for forgiveness. You know, the big symbol of cleansing and forgiveness from Jesus when we first make a decision to accept Jesus is what? I heard it. Baptism. Baptism. That's the one big symbol of the cleansing of Jesus. But since we need continual cleansing, every communion we have an opportunity for a mini baptism. We have a foot washing. It's a reminder that we continually need cleansing. We don't need to get rebaptized over and over again. We have these opportunities 4 times a year to be reminded of the cleansing, of the forgiveness that we continually need from Jesus. And just as Jesus brought about and changed lives by actually doing something to the disciples, do you think that what Jesus did by washing their feet made an impact on them? You better believe it, it did. So Jesus wants to use us to bring about change in one another by humbly serving each other. Jesus can use us to bring about change in other people by serving other people, by helping them. And as we do that, as we serve one another, it unites us. You know, it's difficult to hold a grudge against someone who's washing your feet. And it's difficult to hold a grudge against someone whose feet you have just washed. Wonderful opportunity for cleansing, for forgiveness. And the last sentence on the front of the bulletin says, the communion service is open to all believing Christians. Members, guests, anyone who wants to grow in their Christian experience is welcome to take part with us. And so we've talked about it, and so now we're going to do it. We're going to separate at this time. We're going to have the foot washing service, just as Lois read from the scripture that Jesus did before the communion service. We're going to separate the women. For those women that would like to do it with other women, you'll meet back in the youth chapel. The men will meet over in the early teen classroom. Spouses and families can meet back in the fellowship hall down that way. And if you choose not to partake in the foot washing service and you just want to wait for the table, that's fine. You can remain right here, and we'll be back shortly. Let's separate at this time.